Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter number 13 in your Bibles, please. And we'll read in verse number 20. I'll read, and then if you'll just follow along, we'll read that one verse tonight of Proverbs chapter number 13, verse number 20. Stand with me, please. Proverbs 13, verse number 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace, Lord, your amazing grace, Lord, that you would send your Son to come and die on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that you'd please help us not to forget that. Lord, I thank you for the time that we've had. Lord, I thank you for the visitors that we've seen so far today, and Lord, we've enjoyed that. And Lord, I pray that you please now just be with the special music, pray that it would prepare our hearts for the message and be with the preacher as he preaches to us. Pray, Lord, that we would receive it and we would listen to what you have for us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
He doesn't have to keep another promise. Every prophecy he made has been fulfilled. The season of his upon us, then this world will know what Jesus said is real.
Go tell the world,
go tell the world, it's not a story.
Go tell the world,
go tell the world, he left the tomb.
Go tell the world,
go tell the world, he's now in glory. Go tell the world, he'll be back, he's coming soon. time to sound alarms and heed the warning. Christians have to make the message clear. Be ready, he may come before the morning. If they miss it, they can say they didn't hear.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, it's not a story.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he left the tomb.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he's now in glory. Go tell the world, he'll be back, he's coming soon. If we stand, the weak will lean upon us. If we shine, the blind will see the light. We're so sinner-friendly, we're dishonest. What's wrong with telling sinners to get right?
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, it's not a story.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he left the tomb.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he's now in glory. Go tell the world, he'll be back, he's coming soon.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, it's not a story.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he left the tomb.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he's now in glory. Go tell the world, he'll be back, he's coming soon.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, it's not a story.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he left the tomb.
Go tell the world.
Go tell the world, he's now in glory. Go tell the world, he'll be back, he's coming soon. Go tell the world, he'll be back, he's coming soon. Go tell the world, he'll be back, he's coming soon.
Very good. Enjoyed that tonight. Good singing. Appreciate it very, very much. Young people did very well in the tournament over in Dwight. Ball is not a priority, but we enjoy it. And they did very good. The fellows got second place, and the ladies got third, so that was good over there on Thursday and Friday. I want to speak to you on this subject, going a step further out of this verse tonight in the book of Proverbs. So I hope you'll give me a good ear tonight, and I want to try to be a blessing. The Youth Emphasis Day, I think this really is applicable for young people, but it also touches should touch every adult here tonight as well. Going a step further, I think you'll understand after we get into the message. Lord, thank you for what our hearts have felt this evening and just experienced as we have just enjoyed the whole day. It's been a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. And God, I hope that you have been pleased with us. And God, I hope that it's brought you honor and glory, the things that have happened here this morning, this afternoon, tonight. Help me, I pray, in the moments we have left in the service, to be a blessing to all of our people. May we all, Lord, give a good ear to what this verse teaches, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Just by way of reminder tonight, a proverb is a short sentence that expresses or teaches some of the wisdom of God. A more proper definition of a proverb is a maxim of wisdom. So in the book of Proverbs, we have one maxim of wisdom after another. One sentence of wisdom after another. Once in a while, you'll have two or three verses that are used to reference the same subject, okay? They'll give several truths about one subject, but more often, each verse is a maxim in itself. It is a sentence of wisdom from God in itself. The verse before it is a sentence of wisdom. The verse after it is a sentence of wisdom in and of itself. And that's kind of the case here in chapter 13 and verse number 20. Now, God uses contrasts in the book of Proverbs to teach us wisdom and teach us truth. In other words, he'll use a wise man and a foolish man. That's what he uses to teach us a maxim of wisdom. And then he might use the diligent man and the slothful man, all right, to teach us about wisdom. Then he'll use an evil man and a good man to teach us something about wisdom, all right? In verse number 20, we have the contrast of the wise and the foolish to teach us a lesson. And basically, the lesson is about companionship. Look at it. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The wise man walks in the companionship of other wise people. The foolish man walks in the companionship of other foolish people. Now listen, what if the foolish and the wise walk together? If the foolish and the wise walk together, over time, the wise will become foolish. Rarely does the foolish become wise. That's just how it is. So you have to be careful, all right? It's talking about companionship. Now, the wise man who walks in the companionship of other wise people is blessed. He's helped, he's taught, he's instructed, and he gains wisdom. That's what happens to the wise man who walks in the companionship of other wise people. The foolish man who walks in the companionship of foolish people, he suffers and loses and is ultimately destroyed. That's not my opinion. That's not my idea. That's what God told us, all right? A companion of fools shall be destroyed. So the verse is basically about companionship. Now, what is a companion? Well, a companion by Webster's dictionary is one who keeps company with another. The word does not necessarily imply friendship, but a companion is often or generally a friend. And if you take a minute, think about people in your life with whom you would consider yourself to be a companion, you probably would consider them also a friend. However, it doesn't always mean that your companions are your friend. You might be in a work situation where you are in a companionship with coworkers who aren't your close and intimate friends. So that can happen as well. But that's what the word companion, that's the definition of the word companion. Now listen, over and over, preachers and parents and youth directors and camp speakers and conference speakers, I'm talking about the teenagers especially now, have warned and encouraged young people from verse number 20 in chapter 13. They have preached and preached, and I say they, and I include myself, I should say we. We have preached and preached and preached and preached about this principle. Associate with wise people. Make your friendships with wise people. Choose to spend time with wise people. Do not hang out with the foolish crowd. Make sure to avoid the companionship of fools. We've said it over and over, and it's as true today as it's ever been. You've got to be careful about this. And not just young people, but adults as well. This isn't designated as a youth verse. Now, the book of Proverbs is a lot to young people in the book of Proverbs. But you and I have to look at this, folks, and understand that that truth is as good for adults as it is for teenagers. All right? We can't walk in the companionship of fools and stay or become a wise adult. All right? Now, don't hang out with the wrong crowd. Make sure to avoid the companionship of fools. And by the way, I doubt very seriously, all you young people, especially now, listen, I doubt very seriously if you'll go through your life, even as a teenager and a young person, without having to make a distinction sometime between who you're going to hang out with and who you're not going to hang out with. Even if you have careful parents, because parents don't always know everything. Parents are shielded sometimes from what's really happening. So you're going to have to face that. You're going to have to make a decision someday whether I'm going to surround myself with people who are going to be companionships of wise people or companionships of foolish people. Now listen, all of those things are true. Associate with wise people. Make your friendships with wise people. Choose to spend time with wise people. Don't hang out with the wrong crowd. Make sure to avoid the companionship of fools. And Brother Brown has preached that message countless times. Amnon had a friend. And he says in that message, you are right now, or you soon will be what your friends are. You hang out with losers, and you're going to be a loser. You hang out with scorners, and you're going to become a scorner. You hang out with morally loose people, and you're going to become morally loose. Because you're going to become what your friends are. You're going to become like your companions. If not now, you soon will be. Conversely, if you hang out with diligent people, you'll become a diligent person. That influence will permeate you. If you hang out with optimistic people, people who have a good attitude and a good spirit, who love the Lord, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. Now, let me say a couple things tonight. Unbelievably, some parents are not as concerned about this as they should be. And moms and dads, I'm going to come at you again and tell you that you better be concerned about what I'm talking about tonight. You better be concerned, and you better determine to be involved in the life of your young people. You better in this area. And by the way, as I mentioned earlier, this is not just good for teenagers and kids. The same principles work for adults as well. What we teach our children, we need to practice. We need to practice ourselves, all right? So we as adults need to practice these principles in this verse. And by the way, here's a good principle to teach your kids, and here's a good principle to follow yourself. Be friendly to everybody, but don't follow everybody. Be friendly to everybody, but don't follow everybody. Now, friend, I will tell you, as Christians, you and I have no mandate to be an ugly, ill-tempered, growling, mean person. That is not the spirit of Christianity. Just not. Christianity is kind. Christianity is pleasant. Christianity is good-natured. But wait a minute, in spite of all that, or along with that, Christianity does involve discernment. And discernment must be practiced in the choosing of companions. And remember, companions aren't necessarily friends. So you have to be careful where your influences are coming from. Who are you walking with? And parents, you and I, as parents, we've got to be, not only for our own lives, but we've got to be involved in the lives of our young people. You say, well, you know what? I would, but my son or my daughter gets mad. Let them get mad. They'll get happy after they're mad. Let them get mad. Parents, if you're planning on rearing children all the way through and making it through without ever having one of your kids dislike some of your rules, you are barking up the wrong tree. All right? So that's just part of the territory of being a parent. And I've said before, it's very easy to bring a child into this world. It's an altogether different story to rear one up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's why God gives kids parents. Be involved with this thing. Be involved with your young people. I think one of the classic examples of in the Bible of a man lacking discernment is the man Rehoboam. Let me just tell you the story. Rehoboam's daddy was Solomon. Solomon built the kingdom of Israel to heights. It never has attained the heights that attained under Solomon. Unbelievable. It will someday under Jesus Christ himself, but not under any other man. Rehoboam is Solomon's son, okay? Solomon dies, Rehoboam becomes the king. And there he is, he's going to be the king over the nation of Israel. And so he goes to the older men, the older, wiser men in the kingdom. And he says, what do you think I should do about this? And the older, wiser men gave him some counsel. And they said this and that. And I won't take the time to go into all their counsel. But it was wise, sage, good, godly counsel. He said, okay, thank you very much. Then he went to his peers. He went to his companions. He went to the young men. And he said to his peers and his companions, what do you think I should do about this thing? And they said just the opposite of the older, wiser men of wisdom. They said, man, do this and do that. And their advice and their counsel was 180 degrees opposite what the older men's was. And Rehoboam made a big mistake, one of the biggest mistakes of his life, when he chose to walk in the companionship of those young men instead of those old men. And the kingdom split, and he ruined his name, and the kingdom of Israel split under that. It's a classic example of he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That is, very briefly, what I just wanted to mention. Here's what I want to preach to you about. Unbelievably, some parents aren't as concerned as they should be. Unfortunately, some parents have not taken their concern far enough. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. These parents are not like the first group I just mentioned. The ones who show no concern. These parents, these adults themselves, they show concern, but have not taken it far enough. They've stopped short of expanding their concern in this current day. And people, if you have teenagers and even middle school children, your concern about their companionship has got to be expanded. It's got to be extended. And here's how, what I'm saying tonight. It's not enough now to be concerned and discerning and careful about companionships offline. You got to show the same concern and the same care and the same discernment and the same diligence online. And that's where some of you are dropping the ball. That's where it's happening. You're not taking the concern to the social media. This is where some people and some adults have fumbled the ball. It doesn't matter if it is offline or online companion. The companionship of fools will destroy you and your kids. Online, offline, doesn't matter. So you beat that. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you think, you know, all Pastor Angel does is bash the social media. That's all he does. He's archaic. He is a dinosaur. He's going to left behind to become a relic. And, you know, that's probably all true, okay? So you ought to offended me if you think that, all right? I'll tell you, but you don't listen to what I listen to. And you don't get phone calls from other pastors who say, do you have a few minutes? I have a mess. You don't hear the stories. I'm not saying you're dumb. It's not your world. This is my world. And because it's my world, I want to come to you and say, folks, some of you are very diligent, very careful about the companionships that your kids keep in town and so forth. And you need to be, but you better extend that and expand that. And because it's just as dangerous to be a companion of fool online as it is offline. Social media has opened. And by the way, I'm not against all social media. My goodness, man. I mentioned it this morning. It touched my heart. I had to fight back the tears in the service. I was so blessed to get an email and a little video clip from my son and daughter-in-law over in Madagascar, the little kids' choir singing. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Skype. I really am. I'm not as anti social media as some of you would make me out to be, but I will tell you something, friend. Listen, we would not dare let our kids hang out at the mall, but we let them hang out online. We would not dare let our kids talk on a landline phone for an hour or more with another teenager. I'm talking about a girl talking to another teenage girl for an hour or more, or a boy talking to a boy for an hour or more, or especially a girl talking to a boy talking to a girl for over an hour. We wouldn't let them do that, but we let them hang out online by way of texting for over an hour. And we never say anything about it. We finished up on Wednesday night here. Brother Dave Ferris brought a tremendous message on Ben. Has God matured that guy? Oh, my goodness. That man has been through the refiner's fire. And if you think, if you know somebody that's struggling with bitterness, you ought to get a copy of that. That was an outstanding message. So we're done. The service is over. I don't mean we haven't dismissed the service more than 6 minutes. And here's a teenager. I'm not looking for this, folks. I'm not looking for this, but I don't walk around blind. But I'm not Barney Fife with my bullet in my pocket and, you know, running around looking for. I'm just walking out of the service. That's all I'm doing. I'm walking out of the service. We haven't been dismissed 6 minutes. And here is a teenager in junior high. And I know the exact grade. I know the exact teenager. But here's a teenager in junior high. I'll just say that not to embarrass anybody. I don't want anybody to feel embarrassed. Here's a junior high teenager on a cell phone texting not 6 minutes after this service was dismissed. Now, who are they hanging out with? Who are they hanging out with? You say, well, I was getting a message to a relative. Now, look, you know, when it's and then it's talking. We're not hanging out with relatives. All right? Who are they hanging out with? I'm simply saying hanging out online has the same results as hanging out offline. And people, the accessibility of companionship of fools. Now, think about this. Is much greater online than it is offline. You can hang out with and be a companion of a fool 800 miles away online. You can't do that offline. But you can do that online. Reputation, character, attitude, track record. I'll say it again. Reputation, character, attitude, track record can all be hidden online. You have no idea. None. have no idea. That's so much easier online than it is offline. You take this church. You can. I'm not saying that this is the case now, but you know, there might be the day. The day has come before, may come again in this church where a certain young person knows not to hang out with another young person because of reputation or because of character or because of attitude or because of track record. Again, being friendly to everybody, but not following everybody. There's a difference. Because a person goes to church here, you know their track record, you know their character, you know their reputation, you know their attitude. And you can know not to believe or take as truth anything they say because of their track record. And you can know to avoid that person. But people, somebody 800 miles away online has no knowledge of those things. And gets online with a young person at Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, and thinks it's just great that my child is online with a young person from Faith Baptist Church, Bourbonnais, Illinois. They're 600 miles away. They have no idea the character, the attitude, the spirit, the track record of the young person. Zero. We've got to think about this. We need to think about this thing. So you've got to be careful. They get online. They glibly get online. They become a companion of someone that everybody here knows to avoid. Because they're 600 miles away. It's so much easier online to become a companion of a fool than it is offline. Offline, now listen to this. Offline, it is impossible or nearly impossible to learn about the ways of the ungodly. And Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 2 says, "Learn not the way of the heathen," being exposed to information about perverts, being exposed to information about ungodly people, being exposed to information about Hollywood perverts, being exposed to information about sodomites, being exposed to people whose God is themselves is not healthy. Learning about them, learning about those kind of companions does not make a person better. And you can get online and learn about all that. Learn about it all. I mean, learn about, and listen, you know what, I want to say this, because a lot of times people are quick to jump on the boys. If we had a boy that posted on some kind of social media, boy, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are hot, people go through the roof. And rightly so. But when girls post that a certain rock band star is hot, that's just as bad as saying a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader is hot. And where do they learn about rock bands? At the mall? No, you keep them away from there. You keep them away from the mall. You keep them away from other places in town, but you're not guarding the online stuff, and they're learning stuff online. It's so much easier online to learn stuff than it is offline. Just letting them go. Not intervening. I'll tell you, it's crazy. It's crazy. Be careful. Be careful. Now let me tell you, let me give you some danger spots online. Number one, danger spot online is developing a support group of scorners. Developing a support group of scorners. Folks, there is a difference in leaving a church over a doctrinal error or a moral failure of a pastor. There's a difference in that. And in leaving one because you've become a scorner. And now there are scorner websites. There's a camp out west. The camp's theme is how to overcome being raised in an independent Baptist church. That's the camp's theme. I've been on the phone this week trying to help a man. Not here. Whose home fell apart. And he was partly responsible. And his wife and children hate his guts. They hate his guts. And I hate to use that word, but that's what they do. They hate him. And in weeping, who has since gotten himself right and gotten himself back in church and understands his failure. But he said, Brother Angel, he said, they're sending my kids to a camp to overcome being raised in an independent Baptist church and home. It's ridiculous. It's a support group of scorners. There's a difference. I'll say it again. There is a difference in leaving a church over doctrinal error or the moral failure of a pastor and becoming a scorner because you don't agree with a certain rule in the school handbook. And buddy, that's out there like you can't believe. So developing a support group of scorners is a danger area. Resuming contact with old boyfriends and girlfriends. That's for us adults. I've dealt with that. Get a little bit disillusioned in the marriage relationship and start surfing the old names of the old flames. And guess what? Good chance you'll find them. Fellow whose marriage fell apart, walked in here, three or four years ago on a Sunday morning with a woman I'd never seen before. I knew the man. He introduced her as an old friend that I rehooked up with by way of the internet. What am I supposed to do? Rejoice? I just looked at him. Trying things out on a dating or a social website, I guess this is what I got this from Joel Schwarga at Northwest. I guess it's called chat roulette. You know the old game of roulette? Put the one bullet in the chamber and spin it and phew. So it's called chat roulette. I get on this website, it's kind of a dating website, and I just start chatting a little bit to find out what happens. That's very dangerous. Chatting on a dating website when you are married is about as wrong can be. I'm just simply saying, we've done good, a lot of times parents do a good job, and even for themselves, trying to avoid the offline companionships that the devil has just really made it a whole lot slicker with the social media and the online relationships. Internet is here to stay. Internet's not going anywhere. And it is possible to walk with wise men and people by way of the internet. I understand that. But I'm saying tonight that danger exists with every desktop, with every laptop, with every iPad, every iPhone, every iPod. There's a danger that you parents need to be involved, need to understand and be aware of. It is possible to carry the companionship of fools in your purse. It's possible to carry the companionship of fools in your pocket. It is possible to carry the companionship of fools clipped to the side of your pants. To hang out offline, I have to get a ride. I have to get a car. I have to meet somewhere. I have to make excuses. I have to tell a few lies and make sure I cover all my tracks. That's a lot of work. To hang out online, I need to punch a few buttons and just holler over my shoulder to my mother, I'm just on the internet. I'll give you a couple of verses. Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 8, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. And listen to this one, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's what God said. Now, I will tell you what I would do if I was a parent especially with teenagers, and I wanted to show the same diligence with my teenagers, my children, online companionships as I try to show offline companionships. I would make a covenant with my teenager. That's what I would do. I'd make a commitment with them. And teenagers, if you have a dad or mom that interested in you, to stay on top of you and keep you offline and out of places that could be detrimental to you, don't fight them. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. And what you parents, what we ought to do is sit down with our teenagers and our young people. And by the way, you can use at least use the sensible things that are out there to use by way of filters and all those things. And, you know, it's here to stay. I understand it's here to stay. And sometimes some of you are even involved in school with Internet stuff. And I understand that. And I'm not as anti it all as you probably think I am. But if you had to listen to what I had to listen to this week, and it didn't happen here, thank God, you scratch your head and you say, where did they learn that? Because their parents guard their companions offline. They don't let them hang out at the mall. The parents don't let them do this and don't let them do that. And you think to yourself, where did they learn that? You got all the bases covered except for the most dangerous one. That's right. So I would be careful. I would go a step further and I would make sure that I practice more diligence and more discrimination about the online companions of my children as I do their offline ones. Does that make sense to y'all? I'm not down on you. I'm not being ugly tonight. I'm trying to help every family in this church. Be careful about the online companion. It doesn't say that the companionship of fools at the mall will be it just says the companionship of fools. Wherever that is. So go a step further and be careful. Let's pray. Thank you very much. I love you and I want to try to help you tonight, challenge your heart. Heavenly Father, would you please help us, I pray, to be diligent in this area with our children, our teenagers. I pray that you'll give our teenagers the spirit of submission, Lord, to authority in the home with dad and mom. If they have a dad and mom concerned enough to be so careful about this, please help them, I pray, to submit to that authority and leadership. And Lord, protect us, please. I pray that you'll protect every young person in this church. It's been Youth Emphasis Day. We've enjoyed it. It's been a great day. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us take to heart tonight the things that are said. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're a teenage young person in this church and you are on the Internet because mom and dad let you, that's between you and your mom and dad. I hope that you will make a covenant with your God and make a commitment with your parents, making sure that you're only on those places that are helpful and right. Stay off the ones that are dangerous. Be careful who you come into contact with. Parents, have you been a little lax in this area? You ought to make a commitment tonight to go a step further. Now, let me say this. If you're not saved, you're in this service. We've not talked about salvation, but I would invite you to come tonight. Let us show you how to be saved. We'll be baptized. But tonight, search your heart. Let God speak to you. And just do what the Lord wants you to do. You mind the Lord. If you'd like to come and talk to the Lord a little bit about this thing at the altar, young people or parents or whatever, it's open tonight for you. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. While we wait, we come. It's called going a step further. It's called going a step further. It's making a commitment. It's making a covenant.